good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut. He didn't cut a gay man.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss national and Twin City Native American news and events. And as we all know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Twin Cities American Indian COVID-19 Hotline. Call them at 651-304-9986. They're open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., and they can answer all of your COVID-19 questions. And it's really too bad that after all this time, we're still talking about COVID. So, but what are you going to do, right? We have somebody there who could answer your questions. And the good thing is you don't need to live in the Twin Cities or Minnesota to call them. You could call them with any of your questions. And the other good thing about it is they get updates every day. So they are up to the minute with updates with the Delta variant and other variants that are coming up behind Delta. And they'll be able to help you.
Yeah, that's excellent. Hey, we have another day off, and I talked to Ogama today, and she really didn't have a day off. She was working hard at the powwow. Mm-hmm. I guess her father-in-law has a coffee truck that we're going to get Lewis to run down here in the Twin Cities. And
she was working the coffee truck?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so.
I didn't know that. I thought she was there having a good old time.
No, she didn't. And I guess Flea was there, Lewis. I saw him dancing, and it's always good to know that you can come to a powwow. It's not a sacred, Native sacred thing. It's open. There is a picture of them. Mm-hmm. It's open to everybody. And so it's you know, you can come out there and do your thing. Mm-hmm. And it's not like we're doing a ceremony, right?
Yeah,
Lewis?
I think everybody who should experience a powwow, it's really an awesome thing. So where is this powwow that you're talking about?
Well, the one she went to?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's in South Dakota somewhere.
Oh, it's South Dakota. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I only know what's going on in my 5-block radius.
You're going to a powwow, though, on Friday.
Yeah, I am. I mm-hmm. definitely am. And I think Lewis is, too. I think we're all going to be out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that'll be exciting. And you won't be there because you'll be in New York City with family, mm-hmm. with my family and your family, mm-hmm. but I'll be holding down the fort here, and that's kind of a old colonized way to put it.
<It's> holding down the fort.
Right. One of all the metaphors.
Right. Circle Indians, circle the wagons. You know, I'm holding down the fort.
You're an Indian giver.
Right, and a bougie Indian. We were just at that restaurant. What's the name of that restaurant again that we went to, Lewis?
I wasn't there, but it was Owamni.
We'll invite you next time.
So Owamni is a wonderful, wonderful Native American restaurant.
The sous chef.
Sous chef, and it's in Minneapolis, and it's over by the Stone Arch Bridge, and it was just wonderful, delicious, kind of traditional Native American food. And
the only restaurant like that in the world, Sean Sherman came up and talked to us like I was a big shot. So that was cool.
He even sat with us for a while and he took a picture up with us too. But yeah, if you get you, I think reservations, he said, were out until October.
Yeah.
If you could sneak yourself in there, give it a try.
Yeah, anybody, but if you can sneak yourself in there right when they open at 4:30.
Don't tell people that. We won't be able to get there till after
except
October.
The day that we're going again.
Don't go on Thursday because, no, just kidding. But yeah, you really should check it out because it's really, really something else.
It's something else. That's who we were when CNN put out. You know, that we're someone or something else.
Mm-hmm. We're the something else voting block.
That's right.
Voting block, that's right.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, yeah. You saw that. That
I
was
did
weird
see that, yeah.
A few months ago. But, Lewis, you can see we're kind of marking time here for news because State Representative Heather Keeler is probably not going to be able to get on until later. So we're going to make you do two segments. So why don't we, Lewis is sitting in for Ogama with the news, and why don't we go right to Lewis?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Robert and Wendy, and thank you, Ogama. Ogama does such a wonderful job for Native Roots Radio and her people. Just a tremendous, tremendous person and reporter and human being, all around person. But I wanted just to first start off and say that not too long ago, about an hour ago, Robert, Wendy, and our relatives listening, indigenous groups are protesting outside the residence of Minnesota Governor Tim Walz. They had dancers out there. They had people in regalia. They had signs. Walz administration has been supporting construction of the Line 3 pipeline despite its harm to the environment and to our people. Often while officers collect payment from pipeline company Enbridge, actions are planned with a sense of urgency as the pipeline construction nears its completion. And, you know, I think Unicorn Riot was out there not too long ago doing live streams outside and just seeing indigenous people, you know, basically try to bring this up in his residence and say enough's enough. Speaking of Enbridge, Enbridge has a has to clean up water it's polluted decades ago in order to use it for Line 3 dewatering, which is very strange to me. Enbridge controversial plans to increase dewatering line during Line 3 construction got to an added complication. Workers need to dewater in areas where the company has had crude oil spills, leaving 8,400 gallons of ground in the ground for decades. This means that Enbridge has to treat the dewatered polluted water before returning it to the environment. A few questions one may ask. Enbridge and state regulators knew or should have known about these polluted sites decades ago. Why is this information only now coming up to the public's attention in dewatering work? Why wasn't this done years ago? If Enbridge is able to clean up its old crude and oil spill to build its new Line 3, why hasn't it required it to clean up it a long time ago? Information on these oil spills was something of an afterthought, appearing in Enbridge's August 12th compliance filing with the Minnesota Public Utilities Commission called PUC, PUC. To recap, Enbridge Line 3 proposed route crosses a lot of wet areas, including wetlands and streams. When workers dig a trench, they can fill it with water, making work difficult. The company initially applied to the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources to dewater 510 million gallons of water so workers could try to dig out the trenches and install the pipeline. During a drought year, mind you, 2021 summer, one would think Enbridge would have needed less dewatering, not more. Instead, Enbridge applied to the DNR this year to increase its dewatering to 5 billion gallons, nearly a tenfold increase. Enbridge proposed a lot more water-intensity watering process instead of using sump pumps to dry out the trench. Enbridge proposed using drilling pipes below trench level, pumping groundwater out depressed local water table and to dry out the trench. The DNR approved the dewatering increase over the opposition from the White Earth Nation, which was worried about dewatering impact on wild rice. Now, Enbridge is reporting that two of the dewatering sites in Carlton County are near old crude oil spills. They are both on both sides of I-35 and Highway South 210. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency, MPCA, agreed that to modify Enbridge's discharge permit, describing the change as correcting a quote-unquote small language omission. According to its filing, Enbridge plans to dewater near leak sites 83 and 84, both what it called closed crude oil leaks. Site 83 was remediated in 1972 and site 84 in 1955. And Robert, this kind of goes, this is status quo when it comes to Enbridge. This is status quo when it comes to corporate influence in lieu of actual preservation of the seventh generation and our water systems.
Absolutely. And we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back to you, Lewis, with some more news and maybe some chit-chat, too. You know, they dropped reservation dogs down another day here on Mondays. And this week we're going to have Dallas Goldtooth on, so we can just talk about that, too. Or if you have more news. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and Dr. Stately is coming with us, and possibly Heather Keeler, state representative.
Stay with us.
if the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
In Minnesota, perinatal and postpartum mothers have legal protections to help keep them safe and healthy in the workplace. That means exclusions from heavy lifting, safe spots for breastfeeding, and more. The Women's Economic Security Act protects the rights of pregnant and postpartum women to work safely during pregnancy and to express breast milk at work. The Minnesota Department of Labor and Industry is here to help you and to protect your rights. Call 800-342-5354 or visit dli.mn.gov/newparents.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Strong Hearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Strong Hearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Welcome back. Native Earth Radio presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, what's really interesting, too, is that the band that we just did the bumper music with was called Tribe Called Red, and now they've just changed their name to The Hallucination. So that's I like pulling out trivia like that. Like, right, Lewis? Oh, you're on mute. You know, there you go. What'd you say?
Yeah, shout out to John Trudell. You know, that's where that's from. The Hallucination. Yeah.
That's right. So we don't have State Representative Heather Keeler on right now, but we have Lewis. And Lewis, you have some more news?
Yeah, absolutely. So I wanted to give a shout out, and I apologize for not doing the first segment, but we have a Water is Life benefit, ladies and gentlemen, happening at Duluth Bayfront Festival Park, August 18th. And that is this Wednesday. Mark your calendars and pack those bologna sandwiches because it's going to be a wonderful event. We have Moo Moo Fresh and Bon Iver. No word on if Elvis is in the building or not, but it's going to be a wonderful, wonderful event with a lot of good artists supporting Water is Life, which is a really good organization. So that we have that coming across the pipeline on Wednesday. Also, another article coming from the LA Times. And this actually surprised me, Robert, considering in Lakota country, our vaccination rates are pretty low. But in LA Times are reporting, despite obstacles, Native Americans have the nation's highest COVID-19 vaccination rate. For the first time in several months of the pandemic, residents of Fort Belcamp Indian Reservation were spared by their seclusion in the plains of northern Montana. But when the coronavirus finally hit, sorry about that, it was hard. The 6-bed hospital was quickly overwhelmed, and dozens of pages had to be airlifted to Billings. This is a tight-knit community of 4,500 people. Healthcare workers braced for more, basically a lot of more sick people and death as winter forced people in close quarters. Quote, if you get your electricity shut off or you run out of propane and don't have hot water, you're going to grandma's house and get cleaned up to stay, says Jessica Windboy, who was the head of the Indian Health Service branch there. but the worst fear never materialized. Instead, they helped fuel a highly successful vaccination campaign that has pushed life on the reservation back towards normal. It is not just Fort Belcamp Reservation that has managed to protect itself. Experts say Native Americans have had vaccination rates higher vaccination rates than any other major racial or ethnic group. Those rates are difficult to determine because many vaccine recipients do not provide their race or ethnicity when they get shots, but more than 100 million have done so. That data, collected by U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, suggests that Native Americans are 24% more likely than whites to be fully vaccinated, 31% more likely than Latinos, and 64% more likely than African Americans, and 11% more likely than Asian Americans. Data from several states have counties offered supporting evidence. Alaska example, Native Americans make up 15% of the population, but April accounted for 22% of the vaccination rates. And I think that's a really good win there, Robert.
Yeah, definitely. And really good point. And I just want to, I didn't want to really cut into your flow, but Native Roots Radio is going to be up there in Duluth on Wednesday. And I know Bob Blake from Red Lake's going to be there, and he's going to be one of the speakers. And they have a whole, 10 hours music festival. So I know either Ogama and I will be up there, or both of us will be up there Wednesday to report and hang out with some more bougie Indians, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, all over social media, it's also been reported that the reception of reservation dogs has been widely not only critically acclaimed, but really accepted among the Indian country across the United States, Robert. And when we talk about it, we talk about representation. People like Bobby Wilson, who is one of the writers that was on Native Roots Radio. So if you want to catch that interview, it's in our archives. But he was on here and he was really excited to talk about participation in Reservation Dogs, which is on FX, comes out on Monday, and you could actually watch it on Hulu.
Yeah, we're excited. We're going to watch that. I have a meeting afterwards. I'm just, my life's full of meetings, but we're going to have a meeting afterwards, and then we'll watch it, Wendy and I, and get some popcorn, you know, and do it up.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I love it.
Yeah. And Lewis, really excited. Do you have any more? We only got 6 minutes. We're doing really well here, you know, stretching out the time and doing a little tap dancing, but you got some great news. I should say.
Yeah, go ahead.
Circle
sorry.
Dancing. Circle dancing. I didn't mean tap dancing. I'm really going back to my colonized ways, aren't I?
You know, and I just wanted to say maybe at the end here, more of a relatable story, but, Flea with Red Hot Chili Peppers actually made it to the Little Shell Powwow this weekend and caused quite a stir, with so many people actually surprised to actually see Flea. And I got to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, if you have a chance, get on Facebook or social media and check out his regalia, just some of the most intricate looking, amazing looking regalia. And he didn't do half a bad job, Robert. I seen him dance a little bit out there, and you know, he kind of fit in.
I shared a video. Maybe I'll share it on Native Roots Radio too. Yeah, he did. He was like, at first it was like, okay, there he goes. He's getting down to the powwow music.
Yeah. And it's so cool to see, someone like him understand, you know, and powwows, for those out there, you got to understand, this is not a religious celebration. It's open. Most of these powwows are open for the general public. Wachipi in Lakota basically means a gathering of dancers to dance in a gathering. So, you know, it's to have a good time. It's a social event. And I would highly encourage anyone out there. I mean, this weekend we got Shakopee, Mikwakaton, Sioux Communities powwow, as well as other powwows happening here late in August. But you know, if you wear a mask, get vaccinated, of course, but just get out there and, you know, among community, especially if you're not indigenous, because it's a heck of a fun time.
I don't know if I should wear a braid or if I should slip my hair down flowing. It's been a long time, Wendy, since we've been to a powwow.
I know it has. And the one in Shakopee is my favorite powwow. I love that powwow.
Huge.
Yeah, it is. It's huge. And the grand entry is just unbelievable. There's dancers from all over the country. The sound of the drums and the singers, it's really captivating, and it's really something that I think everyone should experience.
Shout out to Misko, my former student, who's going to be helping us out on Native Roots Radio here in a few weeks and come on and be maybe run the show one day a week.
Yeah, definitely.
From the youth youth perspective. She's going to be in dancing.
Yeah, so that's great. She's won awards.
Yeah,
from dancing, and yeah,
she gets the prize money. That's right,
the prize money. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, and she dances traditional dance
and
jingle dress dance also. So yeah, it's really,
and she makes her own regalia, yeah, and I think that's part of her experience now is that she makes regalia for other people, mm-hmm, and she does a lot of beading. And beating, the first beating she ever did, you're supposed to give away, mm-hmm, and she gave me that beading with the teepee and the microphone in it for Native Roots Radio. So yeah, I used to wear that all the time, mm-hmm, and when we were going to Eden Prairie to check
You'll
in.
Have to wear it Friday when you go to the powwow.
Hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
Make sure you
bring it. You know, another thing for people that are interested in indigenous culture, that Wendy brought up a good point about beadwork and beading, is that that is a reflection of a time and a culture in a certain nation's history, right? It all started with, for us Lakota, pony beads. They were kind of bigger beads, and now we have more intricate, you know, check beads that a lot of people use. And I think that, you know, when we look at the, you know, evolution of regalia from, you know, moose teeth to dentalium to quill work to beadwork, mm-hmm, it's so much fun to just sit there at the powwow, get some fry bread, get a little pop, sit back and just watch people come on in on grand entry.
I know Wendy's going to miss, they have a nice a booth out there that serves vegan food too. We're going to miss out that, but mm-hmm, I'll be eating extra helpings just for you. And also, Wendy told me that you might not have heard, but you know, this is a reference to Rutherford Falls, which is another Native centric show, that, you know, I have to pull my beadwork out of my safe. So that was a good one, Wendy. I did catch that little humor.
Multiple medallions, right? So
right, exactly. And I don't know, I just got to make my hair flowing that day. But hey, today, Monday's Dr. Stately Day, and it looks like Heather Keeler won't be able to make it on, which is awesome, which is fine. But we're talking with her about possibly coming on every other week, and she told me a funny story, Lewis, this morning, and that she was at some fundraiser for her political stuff, and she said that some dude came up to her and said, "Wow, you know, blah, blah, blah. I heard you. I'm from Chicago, and I hear you on this. I heard your name, and I heard your interview on the Chicago station." And she was like, "Wow, what?" And so we've got to give a shout out to Chicago, Madison, and the Twin Cities for carrying this show and supporting Native people, because as you know, Lewis, I'm just a conduit here. I'm just trying to get the word out here. I don't know much. I come with a pitiful, I come in pity, and I want my elders to listen and ask for if it's okay that I do this, and it is. But you know how that goes. It's a
you out humble the most humble Indian, Robert. Let's just put
I'm
it that
proud
way.
Of my humility, and I think maybe next segment we should talk about my humility. No, I'm just kidding. Hey, you're listening to the most humble radio show. No. We are humbled by the support that we've gotten, Lewis, and we've been on the air for less than 4 years, and it's been a great experience. We've met so many people and so many supporters, and we want to give a shout-out to all those people. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and up next, Dr. Stately.
Stay with us.
Hey, Wendy, what are we doing for dinner after the show?
How about we go to J. Selby's on 169 Victoria Street in St. Paul? They have a delicious plant-based menu that's compassionate and environmentally sustainable.
I'm getting their spot-on vegan Big Mac, the dirty secret.
You can pick up and they deliver within a five-mile radius, or you can call them at 651-222-3263 or visit jselbys.com.
Well, you sold me, Wen. Let's go order at J. Selby's tonight.
I'm hungry.
Hey, it's Tom. Utility costs are rising every year, and it's unnecessarily costing you money. But it doesn't have to be that way with a new system from All Energy Solar. Even if you have to take out a loan to finance your installation, you'll still save money in the long run. The loan payment will likely be less than what you would pay for electricity every month. And it's a locked-in price that won't change. So start saving and make the switch to All Energy Solar. Book your appointment today at allenergysolar.com.
Hi, this is Brian, owner of AirSeal Tech, Minnesota's premier insulation and air quality specialist. As the summer heats up, are you noticing that your home is uncomfortably hot and humid? Those issues can negatively impact your comfort as well as your health. AirSeal Tech is here to help by offering fair and accurate assessments of home comfort solutions with a no-pressure estimate. We can also help you save big money on your energy bills. Our goal at AirSeal Tech is to make you comfortable in your house and make sure the air is clean and healthy to breathe. AirSeal Tech uses state-of-the-art testing and diagnostic equipment to make sure we find the best solutions to make sure our customers are comfortable and healthy in their homes. Remember, if you're not testing, you're just guessing. As Minnesota's only Building Performance Institute Gold Star contractor, you can be assured of exceptionally high-quality service. Give AirSeal Tech a call today at 612-888-3664. Mention you heard about us on AM 950, and all testing will be absolutely free of charge. That's AirSeal Tech.
If you're hurting in your relationship or have been affected by sexual violence, you're not alone. Stronghearts Native Helpline can help you through these difficult and uncertain times. Stronghearts Helpline is a free 24/7 confidential domestic dating and sexual violence helpline for Native Americans. Help is available by calling 1-844-762-8483 or by clicking on the chat now icon on strongheartshelpline.org. This message is sponsored by the National Indigenous Women's Resource Center.
Mornings can be tough, unless, of course, you're listening to The Stephanie Miller Show every weekday morning from 8 to 11 on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
Hi, my name is Frank Brown, owner of Minuteman Press Uptown, and I'd like to tell you why you should choose us for all your printing needs. While it's true Minuteman Press Uptown provides the highest quality printing services and graphic design, there's another important reason why you should choose us. We share your values. We believe our employees are a vital part of our success. At Minuteman Press Uptown, I set out to create jobs with a living wage and benefits. I believe in second chances for people who've made mistakes in the past. We're a proud union shop and would love to earn your business.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Frank and his team at Minuteman Press Uptown are AM 950's go-to for all printing and promotional needs. I was blown away by the knowledge and passion Minuteman Press Uptown had to help me grow my business. Even if you're not sure where to start, their graphic design team can create an effective campaign and strategy to increase your visibility. So choose a print shop who shares your values. They work with businesses, nonprofits, and political campaigns. Call 612-870-0777 or visit mpuptown.com.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly cloudy skies overnight with a low around 67, Tuesday sunny with a high near 90, and Wednesday sunny with a high around 89. Come visit the award-winning Hazel's Northeast in Minneapolis for breakfast, lunch, dinner, or weekend brunch. For breakfast, try the slow-cooked brisket hash, hippie cakes, and meat waffle, while for lunch, enjoy favorites like the buttermilk fried chicken sandwich or veggie burger. Hazel's is located off 29th and Johnson and at hazelsnetogo.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota...
Wait, sorry. Take two. Let's start over. Is this live? No.
It is live.
Oh!
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow. Wendy, you're rusty.
I'm a little rusty. I had a good weekend. What can I say?
Yeah, you did. We were out on the boat and everything, and I'm all tan and red. And
red.
Easy. Hey, today's Monday, and mm-hmm. What day is that?
Dr. Stately Day.
That's right. And I think we should have talk to our friend, Lieutenant Governor, and get some kind of proclamation or something. Mm-hmm. But hey, it's
Dr. Stately Day.
That's right. Every day is Dr. Stately Day for me. Hey, it was great running into you in person. It's always fun to see. It's fun to see you, but it's also fun to see your Facebook come alive. Or our point is our radio show come alive. We get to see people in person, so that was fun. Doing a meal with you at that great little restaurant there. I had a little delicious salmon.
That was nice. I thought you had a walleye cake. Didn't you have a walleye cake? A walleye melt?
Yeah, a walleye melt. Why are you looking at my food, Dr. Stately? Chill out. It was really good. It was really good, and I'll be going there again. But we got a few things to talk about here, and I know Wendy and I talk constantly about this because we have this family get together here in another week, and Wendy's heading out to New York too to another family get together. Mm-hmm. So we're concerned, and it's so fluid, Wendy and Dr. Mm-hmm. Stately, isn't it?
It is. It's a little bit scary for everybody out there. But I, you know, on the one hand, I don't want to stop, you know, going to my family's functions that are really important events. So I'm going to do my best to stay as safe as possible.
So maybe we can start out talking about a super spreader event that was in Sturgis. And last year they had that. And I think 80 people mm-hmm. came back from that in Minnesota with COVID. So maybe we can start there and talk about a few things in regarding this. What I heard, you can get this as easy as you can get chicken pox now. That's how it's turned into.
Yeah, they're comparing it to how easy it is to get chicken pox. Just being kind of in the same space with somebody who has the infection, the virus, within like 10 to 15 minutes, close proximity, and then you got it. So it is very, very transmissible. They're saying that it's not necessarily more stronger than the original one, but just more aggressive, moves aggressively. And I think one of the things that's concerning for me is like, I'm trying to track all the information. I think I talked about this last week about how I had to make a decision as the executive of NAT to decide to make a vaccine requirement for all staff working in the clinic, in the clinic environment, and then anybody doing work on behalf of the clinic out into the community, like community outreach and such. And I really used a lot of, I consulted elders, I consulted, you know, my leadership, but I consulted like, you know, what was available in terms of statistics and things. And what we're seeing overwhelmingly across the entire United States is that the new surge in COVID-19 is primarily being driven by the Delta variant, which is very virulent, very strong. And it's primarily a surge that is impacted mostly by people who are unvaccinated. I read this really interesting article over the weekend from the New York Times that did an analysis of the comparison between unvaccinated and vaccinated individuals and what the rate of hospitalization was for unvaccinated versus vaccinated individuals. And less than 2% of the new hospitalizations among the majority of people who are vaccinated is about what we're looking at. And just significantly higher rates of hospitalizations among people who are unvaccinated. And then more importantly, like, you know, the impact in terms of like how many folks are dying from this new surge, overwhelmingly higher rates of people who are unvaccinated. And, you know, my big concern is here we are, we're about 2 to 3 weeks out, depending on where you are in the country and where you are in terms of your jurisdiction. School's about to open, right? Oh. And we have significant numbers of people under the age of 12 and above who are eligible for a vaccine who have not gotten it. So that's a big concern. Very, very big concern.
Dr. Stately, we're with Dr. Stately, the CEO of Native American Community Clinic here in Minneapolis. Dr. Stately, I have a quick question. So when you go, when we talk about people that have been vaccinated, the very, very, very mm-hmm. small percentage mm-hmm. that get sick, are they susceptible? Because I know we had older people when this came mm-hmm. on, and then people with underlining things that were going on health-wise, whether it was obesity or diabetes or things like that. Are we seeing that in that 2% that you talk about?
Yeah, so some of the cases I've heard about are like where they've gotten very ill and gotten hospitalized. Maybe not necessarily died, but I think there have been a handful of cases where I've read or heard of folks dying who had been vaccinated before. Those breakthrough cases, and I think what many of them are elderly, or they've had immunocompromised, they've been immunocompromised, or they have some underlying health condition that's that makes them very vulnerable. And I think one of the things that I know when we have the conversation, people sort of kind of automatically revert back to this position of like, well, what the hell are we getting vaccinated for if there's no point, right? And I really kind of want to take this moment to reiterate, like, this is why some of the discussion you're seeing at the national level with the CDC and Dr. Fauci also in his role as the head of, I mean, you know, the chief person here sort of kind of driving some of this work at the national level, talks about the importance of having a third dose or a booster shot for people who have immunosuppressive disorders, things like lupus, those kinds of things. Maybe they, from the perspective of either they got both doses, the entire series, and maybe they're, and in some situations, their immune system did not launch a robust enough response. So they're recommending folks now to get a third shot to sort of help their immune system sort of kind of kick in the gear in response to this new wave. I think one of the things that I want to just encourage people to do, if you are in that situation, you have some type of disorder or disease that advanced HIV disease, lupus, some type of rheumatoid arthritis, anything that sort of kind of makes your immune system much more compromised, contact your primary care physician and talk with that individual. That person knows your history of your disorder the most, probably has the best understanding of your immune system and what your situation is, and can make a recommendation and a referral for you to get the third booster if it's required or if it's in your best interest. And I really want to encourage people to do that.
I do have a question, if that's okay.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah, I wanted to ask, as you may or may not know, a lot of tribes, especially us Plains tribes, we're going through ARPA distribution of funds on reservations right now. Mm-hmm. And that's leading to a lot of people, going to get school supplies for their young ones and getting mm-hmm. out there and going to shops and stores. I was online earlier today, doctor, and a tribal citizen, a fellow tribal citizen of mine said to me, I don't want to get the vaccine because it's breaking through already vaccinated people and it causes nerve damage. So there's of course a lot of misinformation. It seems like in mainstream, non-Indigenous circles, we're rounding third base, but when it comes to a lot of our communities, we're still, at first base trying to get to that second dose. I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about, that myth of the nerve damage and the thing about the importance of actually getting your first and second vaccination.
For sure. There is no concrete solid evidence that suggests that there's nerve damage as a result of specifically getting the Moderna or the mRNA, any of the approved vaccinations. I think one of the things that's really common, I see it myself all the time. When I'm on Facebook, I see people making comments. Like the other day, over the weekend, I think probably on Saturday, my sister, who had not gotten vaccinated yet, and I had kind of encouraged her to do so, she got vaccinated and she posted it on Facebook, I finally got vaccinated. I think the $100 incentive was really helpful for her. She was pleased about that.
Money's always good, man.
Money. Right. And I kind of ribbed her for that. I was like, man, I got my vaccine. Just put that $100 with me or something like that.
Yeah. Kind of with her. Take me Owamini.
Right. But there were people on her, on her Facebook page that sort of like, ribbed her or kind of like, made comments about like, it's a breakthrough anyway. It's useless. It's pointless. And I commented on some of the people that made the comments on her page, and I said, "Well, where are you getting this information from? This is misinformation and disinformation. It's not accurate. It's untrue, right? Like, I asked them, like, show me where you're getting your information from, and then I offered up where my information came from, which is reputable sources, right? That suggests mm-hmm. that's just not true. While breakthrough happens in some cases, it's not a significant amount of cases. It's a significantly mm-hmm. lower amount of cases for people that are having breakthroughs who have been vaccinated already. And when they do have infection. If they've been vaccinated, they're less likely, very much less likely, to go to the hospital, to get very ill, and specifically to die from COVID-19. And I think that's worth getting a vaccine for specifically. And I think one of the other things that I just kind of parenthetically want to say here is, like, for folks who are doing those kinds of things, like they're going out and getting, you know, going into stores, you know, busy Walmart, and, you know, fighting people for that last box of pencils because people are kind of crazy right now for school supplies. You know, just mask up when you're in that environment, because even if you've had a vaccine, you still can acquire the vaccine and then bring it back home to your kids who are under the age of 12 who can't get vaccinated. And also to grandma and grandpa or other people in your community or in your family who maybe weren't able to be vaccinated because they had immunocompromised disease or something else that prevented them from being able to do that. So the responsible thing to do is, if you're out there doing that, mask up at the very minimum.
Do you have a time capacity for another segment?
Sure. Yes.
Hey, of course. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back.
Stay with us.
Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. This is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here to ask you for your support. Finding honest, Native-centered news is not easy. But with your support, we're able to provide accurate information about Standing Rock, Line 3, treaty violations, and COVID-19 in our Native communities. Please visit Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon and donate if you can. That's Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Pinigigi, and thank you for your support.
Life is a journey, and the Doherty Family College will help you get where you want to go. Located downtown Minneapolis, this affordable two-year college provides free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, one-on-one mentorship, and a Metro Transit pass, making DFC the perfect pathway to a bachelor's degree. Turn your dreams into reality. Connect with a counselor today at dfc.stthomas.edu.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
Bijou. I am Oshawashko Gijig. I'm from Red Lake Nation, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
I love that so much. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hare.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Nice wolf.
I did it, but I was on mute.
That doesn't help, Doctor.
Hey, we're with Dr. Stately, from the CEO of Native American Community Clinic, and here in Minneapolis. And we're just always excited to have Dr. Stately on, right, yes. Wendy?
Yeah, we're always very excited. I have a very, very close person. Relative of mine who got COVID in December, so back in December. And she's still going to a pulmonologist right now to monitor the inflammation that she had in her lungs. So this is from December, and it's, you know, it's still, you know, she's having long-term effects. It is getting better, but it's really taking a long time. Somebody else that we know who is helping us, person in New York as well, fully vaccinated, is just recovering again from the Delta variant. She didn't have to go to the hospital. She stayed home, but she had a quarantine. You know, she had to stay home. She couldn't be around anybody, and she had a quarantine. And she was pretty sick. Like she said, you know, she had to lay down most of the days, and she felt pretty weak and tired and congested and had a cough. So these are things that are happening.
Yeah, Dr. Stately, it'd be kind of hard for me to figure out if that just wasn't my old age kept kicking in. That sounds like how I feel every day.
Well, yeah, it could be, that could be an explanation too. But, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, I'm going to tell you to go get tested if you're having those types of symptoms and experiences.
Yeah.
But there are a number of people that I know as well that have some long-term sort of some effects, I think, of COVID, at having COVID infection. I think one of the things that was challenging for me was over the last 3 weeks with the fires and the poor air quality and stuff. Recall I had COVID and I was in the hospital for the week of Thanksgiving last year. And I had difficulty breathing. Like, I felt a little bit more, it reminded me of that feeling of like having something sitting on my chest. There were times where I had like, I had to like just lay down. I was so exhausted in the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that I'm going to be having, you know, a little bit more limited lung capacity than I normally would. Might not be able to go 10 rounds anymore. I have to like stop.
10 rounds.
Better knock them out after three.
I was looking at a very reputable medical site. I can't recall which one it was, if it was JAMA or the Medical New England Journal of Medicine, but they had pictures. They had actual x-rays shown of people with COVID who were vaccinated, mm-hmm. and pictures of lungs, images of lungs of people who were not vaccinated. And I mean, even a layman looking at these x-rays could see this lung looks a lot worse than this lung. Yeah. And the people who were unvaccinated and COVID, their lungs were cloudy and foggy. And, you know, the other lung, you know, had a little bit, but it wasn't nearly as bad. So I can't remember where I actually saw those images, but it was, you know, a reputable site.
Yeah, and one of the things that I think that's different about, you know, how I remember how like the Delta variant is, the evidence right now seems to suggest that it is having a significant impact on young children, right? So we're seeing young children being hospitalized and we're seeing young people die, which is not something we saw a year ago. We saw much older people dying, right? And those kinds of things. And I think that's one of the things that just really make me kind of frightened. It's like, you know, when you think about like normally healthy, vibrant young people being very, very, you know, vulnerable to this particular thing, you think, oh, okay, if I'm older and I've smoked and I've done all these other things and I have all these other health conditions, I might want to think about whether or not that I'm likely to survive an infection of that nature. So we have, all across Indian country, we have lots of pretty bad chronic illnesses that make us particularly vulnerable as a group of individuals. We have some of the highest lung cancer rates, some of the highest smoking rates, rather, some of the highest asthma rates. We have some of the highest, respiratory or COPD rates, those kinds of things, so that we do not want to, I really encourage anyone who has those kinds of health conditions, get your vaccine, mask up, you know, be really cautious, because this is no joke. I actually was, somebody just mentioned now in the chat that there was no pediatric ICU beds in several states, and I sit on the advisory board for the Hennepin Health, which is the safety net hospital for Hennepin County, and they're at like 1% capacity for their ICU beds right now. That's how much this surge is impacting our communities. And so recognizing, like, you know, we don't have a lot of we're kind of back where we were last July, I think, which is really kind of scary.
It is, but you know, nothing is shutting down. Nobody is really, you know, staying in.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, where was I today? You know, I was out and about. I went to get my hair done last week. I wore my mask the whole entire time. But half of the people in there didn't have their masks on.
Yeah, so, Dr. Stately, I was in Stillwater, and I don't think walking around and going into a coffee shop and whatever, I don't think they even
stores.
Right? I don't even think they heard of COVID because there's no one masked up there in that border town.
It's very scary when you sort of are out and about and you're not seeing folks take it seriously. Like this whole Sturgis rally, it's like it's supposed to be the largest one ever. 700,000 people are estimated to be at Sturgis this week, right? And I think it ends like this weekend, right? And just this sheer amount of like potentiality to spread that virus all over the country, because all those people are going to go back to wherever they came from, you know, all 50 states, right? And it's baffling to me that people are not taking this more seriously than they should. So.
Dr. Stately, it's out of sight, out of mind for a lot of people. I see this on social media, TikTok, around the world, that people are just saying, hey, you know, like I'm not worried about it. I'm not dealing with it. I don't see people in hospital beds, but it almost makes me think, you know, it would be great to have some sort of like nightly news segment where they tell you in your local area what the ICU capacity is with people with COVID, because then it hits home. Mm-hmm. You know, what you mentioned really hit home. I mean, to me personally, because it's like, you know, 1% of ICU occupancy, that's big time. You get in trouble, you fall off a tree or something, you know, doing normal housework, you are being exposed to that type of environment right away. And I think we need more people to see that, you know, it's not out of sight, out of mind. It's clear and present danger. That's what they should be thinking.
Well, I think we should have tours at these hospitals, you know. I mean, people that aren't vaccinated probably don't listen to this show or other mainstream media. They're getting their news on YouTube, and, you know, we didn't make it on the moon, even though I did see it. It was kind of grainy, but I did see people walking on the moon when I was young. But Dr. Stately, we only got like 30 seconds left. What do you have to say here in the last 30 seconds?
I think that one of the things I just want to encourage, like, I mean, you know, you hear a lot about sort of kind of COVID fatigue and those kinds of things. And, you know, one of the things I want to tell people, like, you know, this pandemic is a marathon. It's not a sprint, right? Mm-hmm. If you've ever done any long distance running, and I was a marathon runner a long time ago, you know, you have to pace yourself, and you have to, like, you know, feel your body, and you have to, like, and so the comparison here, the metaphor is like, you know, you do what you need to do, pace yourself, take all the time you need, and try to sort of just last it out, outride it, right? Because if you make faulty decisions, you know, it could be curtains for you. So just want to really encourage people to use everything they possibly can to sort of like protect themselves and their loved ones and their community, right? Even the people you hate in your community, you need to protect them, right? So get a vaccine, mask up, and, you know, be a good relative, and, you know, show people and demonstrate for your little ones how to be a good relative.
Pini Gigi, for this important message weekly. We don't know how much we appreciate that. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
See you tomorrow.